go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running on this 16th day of June, 2023. Oh, my gracious sakes alive, June is more than half over. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between and the Great Globe Round, and whatever time it happens to be when you're listening to the podcast. And if you're listening to the podcast, well, great merciful heavens, please press the like button, the follow button, the heart button, whatever kind of button they have wherever you take the podcast. Leave a comment, say something so the algorithms will know that you're there and we're there. Tell your friends and neighbors, post the program on your social media. All of this is free and takes mere seconds. It helps so very, very much. And it also earns you the undying thanks of the entire Horn Family Community Congregation, for whom I will happily speak in this instance. Hi, I'm Robin. And if you should happen to be listening live, pop by the aforementioned Merry Wacky Zany, and you'll be greeted by the early arrivers. That would be Irish Dave and Ralphs and Squeaky and Theo. Matt in San Francisco was here just a few minutes ago. Hey, Matt. And, a good time should be had by all. It is, of course, Friday. Oh, yes, and you will be capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist and Chief Mathematician and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, Roger in Oregon, who made it home in time for the program. Thank you, Roger. Thank you so much. I guess Roger's going to be out for a little bit next week on the road. Leaving for New York. Well, happy trails and safe travels and Godspeed and fair following winds and following seas and yeah, all of that, Roger. Hope y'all have a really good trip. So it is Friday on the front porch. That means here in about 54 minutes or so, depending more or less, depending how the filler-obster goes. We will go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we keep the extraordinary, ordinary round table around which we gather each and every Friday to cuss and discuss over the issues of the week and whatever issues that maybe I may have missed during the... Right, and being how this and last week were both sort of hell weeks... we've got some catching up to do. So if you'd like to be part of the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable discussion that is Friday on the front porch, use the button. If you've never used Skype before, this works just fine. Use the button there at headon.live. It'll carry you, over the aforesaid river and through the aforesaid trees to the aforesaid old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves. And you can gather with us around the aforesaid extraordinary, ordinary roundtable. It should be, I expect, a Jim Dandy conversation, or Jane Dandy, however. But feel free to join in. We had a rousing good Friday on the front porch last week, and as I noted, last couple of weeks have been kind of a hell week, both of them. Just inexcusable, but unavoidable absences, which I hate to have happen. As the hardest working girl in progressive talk, and probably just the hardest working woman in talk at all. But yeah. I like our community. I like to be here. So I hope going forward that here, let me just look at the schedule for next week and see if there's anything that. Could possibly interfere, and that way we can do a little program note. Let's see. Nope, no problem with Monday. Possible problem on Tuesday. Shouldn't be, though. I hope it won't be. Nope, Wednesday's good. Thursday's good. Friday's good. Hopefully, there will be no interruption to the program whatsoever next week. I'd really love it if that were the case. Yeah, Stephen New York points out the interweb tubes. It's not a dump truck. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tech genius, Senator Ted Stevens, busy tending the pineapple cart in perdition. Yeah. Series of tubes. I got an internet the other day. Somebody sent me an internet and it said, "Dear Ted." Oh, let's don't start. Please don't start. I missed out on Monday on a note from Giraffe and Junior and Joey. So I thought I would go back to that because, you know, the boys do like to hear their stuff read. I mean, you know, Giraffe's busy studying there at Harvard. Stay away from the morgue, Jeffrey. Please. There might be another dude who hasn't been arrested there yet who might part you out and, well, never mind. But Joey writes, last time we left off, I was speaking of an American hero, an abolitionist, John Brown, and how he and his son's heroic battle against the Confederates at Harper's Ferry eventually ignited the Civil War, which eventually ended slavery in this country. Oh, no. It's a bit early, but here's Junior. Yes, now there's another war that's going to take place this summer, and that is Harper versus Moore. I mean, why is the Valerie Harper family squaring off against the Mary Tyler Moore family?
No, Junior. Harper versus Moore is just a friendly debate on which actor was better. The Harper fans feel that Valerie Harper was so instrumental to the Mary Tyler Moore show as Rhoda Morgenstern that her character Rhoda actually spun off to her own show simply known as Rhoda. The Rhoda show aired from 1974 to 1978, and Valerie Harper earned a Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series and later received the award for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Comedy Series for Rhoda. On the other hand, Mary Tyler Moore show was an iconic classic that had so many good actors, including Ted Baxter, Ed Asner, and Betty White. The show won several Emmys, Golden Globes, and Peabody Awards. Sorry, but I just have to add the show was all that and... Oh, God, it starts early. More. All that and more.
Where'd my cowbell go? It was sitting right there. Oh, this gets annoying. Yeah, I mean, it was literally right there. I gotta have a chat with the little elves union. I gotta stop rearranging the studio on that. Well, we'll have to do it Ted Lasso style. Mild cowbell. Honest to Pete. I wish whoever's doing this would quit doing this. But then again, wish in one hand and see which one fills up first. Never mind. Joey sets the boys straight. My gosh, Harper versus Moore is a case that will be deliberated this summer by the Supreme Court, and it involves each individual state's rights as to whether each state can choose its own electors. This is a very important... Well, you're not lying, Theo. Theo in the chat room somewhere, Robin's cats are snickering. Swear to God. They're trying to grow thumbs, and if they do, I'm screwed. Ralph's thinking the same thing. Oh, no, did Kyle hide your cowbell? Apparently. Purse is there. I mean, who needs a cowbell that they would take it off of my table? Is it back behind it? I feel like I'm being gaslit.
No, not there either.
Well, that just about beats cats fornicating. Anyway, Giraffe was embarrassed that he messed up, so he interrupted and said,
speaking of awards, did anybody witness the thespian actress who starred in Hamilton, today, Benton, take down Ron DeSantis at the Tony Awards? Yeah, she referred to DeSantis as the Grand Wizard, and the crowd just loved it as they laughed hysterically. I'm so proud of the Plantation, Florida native, Danae Benton, for calling out her goofy-ass governor. I think she should have introduced a jacket for him to wear around Florida. Yes, she could have presented to him a special jacket, with the Florida initials along with the Klan. The jacket would simply read FLAKKK. Florida flak jacket would be just perfect for the bullshit governor of the unwoke.
Great job, Giraffe. Speaking of Florida, does anyone remember when Obama spoke in Florida during the 2016 election and warned people not to be fooled by the okey-doke where Lucy pulls the bowl away from Charlie Brown for the umpteenth time, and Charlie Brown always believes he's going to be able to actually kick the football? Obama warned the people of Florida not to be distracted by the okey-doke. Well, Junior's not fooled or distracted. Ron DeSantis is now trying the same old tactics, but this time it's the wokey-doke and not the okey-doke. Giraffe applauding.
Oh, excellent job, Junior. I like your analysis of the latest version of Republican bullshit, the wokey-doke. Being here at Harvard, where DeSantis attended, I've decided to focus my thesis on how the banning of books in Florida is just a way to avoid the precious past in order to sabotage the future. The book ban is just a ploy by Republicans to avoid the horrible wrongs done to black people. In so doing, they will not then be obligated to pay out billions of dollars in much-deserved reparations.
I remember, Giraffe is, of course, African.
I will argue one of the major reasons they wish to remove the books is their attempt to erase history so they will never have to ever assume financial responsibility for the actions of their wealthy, rich plantation enslavers.
Daddy, you mentioned plantation owners, and I noticed that Danae Benton is from Plantation, Florida. Is one part of reparations, should the name of that town be changed?
Oh, good job, Junior. That is a wonderful point you just made. I'm also very proud to announce that last year Harvard allocated $100 million to atone for the institution's ties with slavery. I'm so proud of Harvard because as the demands for reparations are increasing, so is the attack on history and the efforts to ban books and change school curricula and attempts to diminish references to reparations.
Well, Joey's hopping about a bit. Speaking of bans, I'm wondering if the Great Barrier Reef will soon be gone because of all this global warming, of which the woke clowns are denying. Unwoke clowns. I only mention this because it was on this day, June 11th, 1770, that Captain James Cook, commander of the British ship the Endeavour, that's Endeavour with a U, the Endeavour, discovered the Great Barrier Reef off Australia when his ship ran aground on it.
Well, excellent job, Joey, too. The Great Barrier Reef that James Cook discovered is just about cooked because of global warming and climate change. Speaking of global warming, it appears that Canada is on fire. The whole country is burning. I could not believe the pictures of New York City and Philadelphia from all the smoke from Canada.
I always wondered why they called the hockey team in Alberta, Canada, the Calgary Flames.
Well, the Calgary Flames were originally the Atlanta Flames in reference to Hotlanta, which had to be burned to the ground in order to teach them the perils of secession and treason. When the team moved, they never bothered to change the name, and how ironic is that with all the fires in Canada?
Speaking of sports, it appears that both South Florida sports teams are not awake because both the Florida Panthers, based in Fort Lauderdale, and the Miami Heat will both lose tonight and tomorrow. This was last week. And it was this week in 1938 that the Cincinnati Reds pitcher Johnny Vandermeer pitched two consecutive no-hitters, a feat that will never be broken. I will add editorially that that is the least likely record in all of sports ever to be broken. Tied, maybe. Three consecutive no-hitters? Might as well expect a batter to come up and hit 403 three seasons in a row. That's more likely to happen. Well, anyway, back to giraffe ring.
I must say that I was pleasantly surprised to hear of the ruling in the Alabama case, in which gerrymandering black people out of their agency to vote was struck down. The Supreme Court actually ruled in favor of having the maps redone, allowing black people to have their franchise in the voting booth. I was surprised by the ruling of Judge No Balls and Strikes Roberts voting in favor of restoring the Voting Rights Act of 1965, at least upholding Section 5. What really shocked me, however, was that tonight Let It Be Lowenbrow illegitimate Judge Brett Kavanaugh went, Let It Be Lowenbrow? Really? Illegitimate Judge Brett Kavanaugh went along with Roberts in the decision.
Why did you refer to Kavanaugh as Judge Let It Be Lowenbrow?
Oh, good question, Junior. Kavanaugh, being the drunk, beer-loving bastard that he is, I thought we need to attribute a brand of beer to him. Considering that he is a low-brow, belligerent bully, I thought Lowenbrow beer was perfect label for beer bong brat. By the way, the definition of lowbrow is a person of little intellect or culture, and that well describes this Neanderthal in the Supreme Court who had over 400 complaints from women that he allegedly abused.
I'm still stuck in May, or should I say stuck in the Matrix. One of the evilest men in the world turned 100 this past May 27th. We'll speak of him next time. And in fact, we did yesterday. And so this has been Joey's Journal for Moore and Monday, the 12th of June, with Giraffery wondering how come it is in Florida that when you drive in north in Florida, you actually end up even deeper in the south. Wow. And so consequently, there's a $50 Let It Be Lowenbrow challenge. I will not sing. I will not sing. And by the way, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and I was in such a hurry to get things. I was just kind of eager to get to air. I'm feeling a little snake bit lately. So thanks go out to our 16th day of the month subscribers. That means thank you to Mark. Thank you so much, Mark. And thank you to Reinhard on the Virginia coast. Thank you to Zed in Iowegia. Thank you to David up in Oregon. I'm so sorry about all the shenanigans from this week. Hopefully everything calms down soon so you enjoy your summer. Any plans to grill anything soon? Interesting you should ask. Yes. A week from tomorrow, I'm putting on my second Pride Barbecue over at Maggie's Pub in Fayetteville. And I'm planning for all the proceeds to go to the project, the ACLU of West Virginia's Project for Queer Appalachian Youth. Looking at, crab cakes, pulled pork, maybe some brisket, Kanaka. So, yeah, that is in the plans. And thanks. And by the way, Ken followed up on his challenge his contribution to the challenges last night, saying, "Yens, keep Robin re-groovy, please." Yinzers. Gotta love some Yinzers. Thank you. Thank you so much. So, and thank you also to our kind anonymous friend who sent the Jackson 5 to play a three-night stand in Beckley. I went to the post office today and found that. Thanks as well to Brandon and Fennell. And Fennell, I'm so sorry about your brother. I saw a post about that where she was writing about how much she missed him. And my heart goes out to you both, but particularly to you, Fennell. And so the fundraising goal stands at $1,000. That's actually reachable. That's today and yesterday and Monday and a little bit of last Friday. So we've made real progress. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Matt with a note. The you show me yours and I'll show you mine challenge. I'll match up to $300 today, Matt says. Come on, Horn family, get your wheels spinning. Make your rubber meet the road. Don't tire of fundraising. Everyone loves a girl that gets around, so transport some cash to the lady who curates the content. Don't let a rock slow you down. Oh, thank you, Matt. Thank you so much. Girl wishes she wasn't getting around as much as she's had to be lately. But thank you so very much. So, you show Matt yours, and he'll show you his $300. 10 to 30, 30 at 10. One at 300. 3 at 100. 6 at 50. 12 at 25. I know, we all just love it when I do math on the fly because it's always such a such an adventure. Where in the hell is that cowbell? Really does irk me. I shouldn't let it irk me, but it does. Thank you, Matt. Hopefully we will knock that out in the course of these next two and a half hours. I really hope so, because that would get us down to only $400 to go. That would mean that just today and $100 of yesterday remained unfunded, and that would be huge going into the weekend. Tom in sunny San Rafael says, about the cowbell. Now that you have neither a pool boy nor Gulfstream pilot, perhaps you could hire a cowbell monitor. I never actually dreamed the day would come when I needed a cowbell monitor. Kind of checking all the little nooks and crannies here. No? But you may be right, Tom. May need one. All right, you know what? I know what I could do. I could get one of those Apple AirTags and stick it on the cowbell. And if someone tried to squirrel it away, I could chase it down with, you know, that proprietary Apple app, Find My Cowbell. I mean, it's an idea. So tomorrow, I've missed a couple of them so far, but tomorrow is Pride in Beckley. And I'm just terribly excited. I'm going. Some friends are meeting me there. This will, like I said, this will be my third Pride. And the first two have just been magic. And once again, we have exquisite weather on tap for tomorrow. Thank God my tinted moisturizer is SPF 40, because otherwise I would probably get cooked. Remember, I'm the girl who gets, you know, who has to slather on SPF 50 on her arm just to reach in the fridge for the bologna underneath the refrigerator bulb. Fingers crossed. Should be a lovely time. And I have worn white to my first two prides. So I figured to stay with the trend. I've got a pretty little white dress. And I'm excited. Lee in New York, apparently the Cowbell Brain Trust has decided to gather in Congress assembled. Lee says, cowbell, here's the only reliable solution at this point. The only way you'll never lose where the cowbell is to wear it. Regrettably true, signed Lee in New York. Lee, I'm not sure how I feel about that. I don't feel too terribly bovine. And besides, the backup cowbell is on a handle, for God's sakes. It's got like a little bicycle grip on it. Yo! Yay!
Granted, it's the backup cowbell, but it's a cowbell. Glory. So here's the cowbells that we're missing. There we go. David up in Oregon was asking. Actually, we initiated the summer grilling season last night. Ferg and my wonderful daughter-in-law came home with a package of foot-long hot dogs. So we fired up the Blackstone griddle, and Ferg grilled foot-long hot dogs. And just one of those moments. They found them at Wally World. They were nice. They had a nice snap to them. But Wally World had foot-long hot dogs and no foot-long buns. Somebody needs to have a long talk with the Walmart inventory algorithm. Who does that? Forget it, Jake. Forget it, Jane. It's Wally World. Never a dull moment. So it was a busy day today, but not so busy that I couldn't keep up with some right-wing stupidity. I thought we'd start the program this evening with more things that the maggots now hate. From the Department of, you couldn't make this shit up if you tried. Honestly. And for a segment like this, it's never a losing proposition to check in with anointed booger-eating future king of America, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz. Because this is... yeah. Rafaelito is apparently mad at Pat Benatar? Oh, really? I wish I was kidding. And it's not just that he's mad at Pat Benatar. Who could be mad at Pat Benatar? Yeah, but here we are. And of course, Rafaelito has a history that's beginning to approach that of Jerry Falwell, busy in the pineapple paradise that is hell itself. Remember, Jerry Falwell was famously angry at Tinky Winky for being purple and having a triangle on its head and carrying a purse. And Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, is famous for having been mad at any number of things. Good Lord, it's a list. Flavio sent this along to me. Like I said, there's a history here. He didn't understand the movie Watchmen. Now, this is a guy who was Ivy League and a master debater.
But he didn't comprehend Watchmen. He didn't comprehend Fight Club. First rule of Fight Club is right. He screwed up a reference to the Princess Bride so badly that Cary Elwes, who played the romantic lead in that film, Stephen King cussed him till a fly wouldn't light on him. And that was just the beginning. Now he's mad, and I'm not kidding. And it's not that I'm not kidding, it's that I don't understand. He's mad at Pat Benatar. He went on some radio show that is hosted by someone who calls themselves Joe Pags. No idea. And so on the show hosted by Joe Pags, well, he said the following. Get the hockey puck. Here comes the stupid train.
If the Senate gets the impeachment and a trial is held, do you think you could ever get a supermajority to remove him?
I don't think Senate Democrats, if you had video of Joe Biden murdering children dressed as the devil under a full moon while singing Pat Benatar, they still wouldn't vote to convict.
That's nuts, Ted.
That is. Get the straitjacket and somebody come get Raffaelito. And Joe Pags apparently thought that was a real knee slapper. Somebody help me, please. Pat Benatar? There's a few possibilities here. And one certainty, the first certainty, is apparently that Raffaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, has forgotten Nitwit Nero's statement that he could murder someone in the middle of Fifth Avenue and never lose a single voter, because he actually said that. Anything you say, Ken, will be used against you in a court. Well, he did. He said that. But Raffaelito, that has somehow plumb evaded him. It feels like it was a canned response, though. But as to Pat Benatar, she did make a video once in which she slaughtered Nazis. I'm sure that was horrifying to Raffaelito. And the press office for Raffaelito, no matter how many times various outlets asked, would not explain their boss's stupidity. And then Pat Benatar and her husband, Neil Giraldo, well, they just, with two words, burnt poor Raffaelito to the ground. Nice try. And then her spokesperson said that Ms. Benatar will have no further comment on the stupidity that is Raffaelito Eduardo Cruz. Now, there was Hell is for Children. And, you know, being one of these evangelical types, maybe that's all that Raffaelito picked up on.
Who in the world would say Hell is for Children?
Hey, well, you know, the problem is it's an anthem that she released about the horrors of child abuse. One wonders if maybe Rafi Alito thinks that, who did the song, My Name is Luca? I live on the second floor. Yeah, Rafi Alito probably thinks that's something about a song about an apartment living in a city. Never mind. That's such a perky little upbeat tune until you realize it's about a kid who routinely gets the hell beaten out of them. And Hell is for Children is a little bit more straightforward. Insofar as the hell that is for children is right here on Earth. Pat Benatar is going on tour this summer. That would be a great show to see. Oh, where else are you going to be? Ah, Northfield, Ohio, Farmingville, New York, Morristown, New Jersey, Shippensburg, PA, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, Englewood, New Jersey, Boston, Canandaigua, New York. Where is situated one of my favorite Miller Nurseries? D.C., Minneapolis, Chicago, Milwaukee, Peoria. You know you really made it big when you play Peoria. That was not snark. Tempe, Arizona, Las Vegas, Nevada, San Diego, Los Angeles, and oh, maybe Ted can come and see her at the very end of her tour, because she, on November 8th, she plays the Sands in, oh, Goddess of Irony. There were three rubber chickens for you last night, but you're going to have another this evening, because Pat Benatar, having been assailed by the monumental brames of Rafi Alito and Eduardo Cruz, Pat Benatar's tour winds up at the Sands in none other than, I love this so much, Cancun. Whoop! God, what a dipshit. And, of course, Pat Benatar started trending on social media, and people, hey, I remember Pat Benatar. And then, wait, what? But, okay, so that's one thing Republicans are mad at right now. But it gets dumber. No, really. The maggots are now mad at breakfast cereal. Mm-hmm. Developed in the 19th century in the hopes that, just like soccer was invented in England in the 19th century, in the hopes that somehow a stop could be put to all these boys masturbating. I wish I was kidding. But having become beloved of the American people, it started out fairly anodyne. Kellogg's Frosted Flakes, Post Toasties, Shredded Wheat. And expanding all the way into super sugar frosted chocolate bombs, or Fruit Loops, or Apple Jacks, or can you imagine the marketing meeting oh so many years ago? Hey, we got to get the kids to eat this shit. What do you say we put marshmallows in it? Oh, they're magically delicious. But I'm not kidding. The maggots are mad at breakfast cereal. In particular, they're mad at Kellogg's. The story goes back to last Sunday at the Tonys, the same place where Danae Benton referred to Ron Monkey Up Duplantis as the Grand Wizard, which he is. Well, I mean, at least, he was elected to office on his first term with the help of real live, no kidding, Nazis and Klansmen. It's verifiable. It's a fact. So flush with the success that they perceive of having had with Bud Light Butthurt. Oh, they'll be going out of business any minute now. They're now mad because at the Tonys, Dylan Mulvaney was there. Imagine that. A girl who loved theater in middle school, who loved theater in high school, who loved theater in college, and is now trying to craft a social media comedic diva career, which, well, Matt says it best, right-wing humor. They just don't get the grain of truth thing that makes humor work. No, they don't. They don't get it at all. And they certainly don't understand that Dylan Mulvaney is trying to hone her chops as a comedian. That's what the whole Bud Light thing was. It was all a shtick about how she didn't understand what March Madness was. Because they are a humorless lot. So now the maggots are going to boycott Kellogg's. So they're going to lose their breakfast cereal. Well, enjoy your grape nuts, you dumb bastards. Good God. Did you ever eat a MAGA hat? Some parts are edible. Hi, I'm MAGA Gibbons. Oh, wow, that's a dated reference. I don't think anybody under 60 is going to get that one. So Dylan Mulvaney made a video. Bless her heart, it was cute. She had this... Oh, she's so pretty. She had this gorgeous Christian Siriano gown on. And it showed her running to the video she shot showed her running to the Tonys and talking about her love of theater. And then she bumped into someone there in a, gasp, Tony the Tiger costume. No, really. Tony the Tiger, there at the Tonys. You know, because Tony. Yeah, that one went right over the maggot's head too.
Why is that funny? Can we go set fire to our tennis shoes now? Or at least blow up a cooler full of Tannerite? My brain's hurting.
So she almost bumped into Tony the Tiger. And there was a video. Of course there was a video. Good God, she has a following on social media.
Tony Awards! I am headed to my very first Tony Awards with Meta. This is my Super Bowl, y'all. I think most of you already know this, but I am like the biggest theater girl. I started dance class when I was 3 years old, and the first show I ever performed in was High School Musical when I was 10, and I played Ryan back then, but now I would obviously play Sharpay.
Yes, she was.
And, oh, the first musical I saw on Broadway was Wicked, and I got my degree in musical theater, so this is like a very big...
That's because she is Wicked! It says right there in the Bible that... No, never mind.
...night for me, and I really want to get back to theater, and... Oh my gosh, okay, I have to show you the dress. Are you ready? And here's the dress. Christian Siriano...
You'll have to trust me. It's beautiful. Off-the-shoulder flounces.
Oh my God, we're going to be late. Let's go. Going to the Tonys. The Tony Awards, here we come. Love ya.
And there's bumping into Tony and the shtick that goes with her almost tripping over her Christian Siriano dress. And Tony, oh, that deviant, pervert tiger, leans over and gives Dylan Mulvaney a peck on the cheek. Well, do you remember Joey Manananarino? He was the one who started the... You do you. Started the Chick-fil-A boycott.
Folks, we have a new boycott to add to the list, and I'm truly sorry to say it because I love this brand.
Joey Manananarino. No. Manananarino, no. Manananarino. No. Stop it, Robin. Oh, thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs got us started on the challenges out there. Thank you so much. So, taken all together, we have $350 worth of challenges on the table. There's, we're down to $325.
Folks, we have a new boycott to add to the list. I'm truly sorry to see it because I love this brand.
That's probably the wrong accent for Joey Manananarino, no. The Frosted Flakes mascot, Tony the Tiger, has just posed for a photo with Bill and Mulvaney and even acted like a fan. That's always been my line, said Joey Manananarino, no. You associate with Bill and Mulvaney and you're done with me. I don't think Joey Manananarino, no, has a tenth of the followers that Dylan Mulvaney has. Joey went on to say, entirely unironically, I usually start my mornings with either the Fruit Loops or the Frosted Flakes, so this one hurts. But I refuse to engage with a brand that has the Tranny Semen Sweatshop in full effect. Oh my God. Is that what the frosting is on Frosted Flakes? Oh! Whenever the brand associates with Dylan... God, this poor little fucker. Joey Manananarino, no. Thinks he has been eating cornflakes covered in dried spunk? I mean, it's Friday. We can talk. And he's just, oh, he's battling the gay day in and day out. Oh, it's terrible. Now, whenever the brand associates with Dylan, I just assume they have a Chinese-style sweatshop somewhere in the world with a bunch of trannies just pumping out juice for the ingredients. He's got a blue check mark on Twitter, y'all. Yeah. Stay classy, Leon Scum. Well, what I once thought was white sugar on the bottom of the Frosted Flakes bag might just be something else. And it makes you something else, too, Joey Manananarino, no. So while Tony the Tiger is snipping off his tiger testes tonight, I'm not making this up, y'all. This is the lunacy of the fascist maggot right. The homoerotically obsessed fascist right. Remember, Ernst Röhm, well, yeah. So while Tony the Tiger is snipping off his tiger testes tonight after bottoming with Mulvaney, I'll be dumping out my Frosted Flakes. I don't think you should have used the word dump, Tony, or Joey, Manananarino, no. I was taught the white stuff pouring into the bowl on the cereal box was milk. Turns out it was tranny semen. Looks like it's Fruit Loops tomorrow morning. I want to believe that that's parody, but I don't think they're capable of it. You know, back in the day, the voice of Tony the Tiger was a good Christian man because I know this because my grandma used to tell me about he would show up on the PTL club talking with Jim and Tammy Faye and them puppets. And I'm just curious. I gotta know. Yeah. Joey Manana Nanarino No No has 193,800 followers, which is just fucking hilarious. Dylan Mulvaney measures hers in multiples of millions. The top comment that shows up for me on this Twitter thread is someone calling himself GW Cowboy. Oh, really? You're the cowboy? I wonder who the construction worker is.
My granddaughter saw this and said, Grandpa, no more Frosted Flakes.
You let your granddaughter read the filth that the Joey Manana Nanarino No 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 post, do you? Yeah. Good grandpa. Joey Manana Nanarino No 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 responds, smart girl. Somebody said, yeah, cereal's bad for you anyways. Joey Manana Nanarino No 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 replied, it is. These boycotts are going to have me looking for a wife. As opposed to Joey, not you, Joey, this Joey. And some blue check mark, Mr. Pastor sees.
I know what you mean. I told my wife yesterday no more Kohl's, and she almost cried, but she completely understands we are not supporting anti-Christ, anti-American companies.
This feels like a pretty good start to this Friday. Let's see. They can't drink beer anymore. The bourbon's been queered. The vodka's been queered. The gin's been queered. Hell, even the Smoky Mountain moonshine's probably been queered. They can't even go to their beloved Chick-fil-A anymore. Is Burger King doing the chicken sandwich thing this year where all the proceeds go to LGBTQ organizations? Somebody asked Joey Manana Nanarino, No No No.
Wouldn't you have to boycott the entire Kellogg's brand then?
First, we make the statement like we did with Bud Light, also known as Tranny Semen. He spends a lot of time writing about semen. And by the way, on his bio on Twitter, he says his pronouns are shut and up. I'm just guessing his real pronouns are closet and case. So they think they're going to destroy Kellogg's. New York Post got hold of it and said,
is Kellogg's next? Dylan Mulvaney goes blonde and poses with Tony the Tiger at the Tony Awards.
A black conservative by the name of Rob Smith said,
well, that's proof that they're coming for your kids.
Die mad about it. Maggots. Or better yet, just stop eating things and drinking things and, well, just, you know, you wouldn't want to go out and vote or anything. Some guy who refers to himself as Dei Gratia. Thanks be to God.
Tony the Tiger poses with female impersonator Dylan Mulvaney. My childhood is ruined.
No, no, no. Not a female impersonator. That's a drag queen, dumbass. Dylan's a girl. Probably prettier than anything you ever cajoled into bed. Good Lord. I got to admit, it's getting kind of fun. At Target, Kohl's. Pretty soon they'll be down to shopping at the Starvation Army thrift stores. There, you can't make this stuff up. But remember, this is about a third of the American electorate. A third. Democracy is only as strong as its weakest link. And when it comes to the Joey Manananarino-no-nos, the link is already pulled past the breaking point. So we've had our fun. Now some actual good news. Today, in Pittsburgh, Robert Bowers was found guilty by a jury tried and true on a 63-count indictment, including 11 counts of hate crimes resulting in death. Robert Bowers was the Nazi-inspired, Republican-inspired, maggot-inspired, lawful gun owner. Can't leave the lawful gun owner part out. Who shot up the Tree of Life synagogue in 2018. It was the worst mass murder of Jews in the history of the United States. It took the jurors less than a day to convict Bowers on all 63 counts. Hard to believe that was 5 years ago. When the cops took him in, you know, him being white and all, he didn't die or anything. He told the cops, look, I wanted to kill Jews. And he went more than sufficiently armed. He had a semi-automatic assault rifle. He had three handguns. Shot many of his victims at close range, point blank. He offered to plead guilty. He offered to plead guilty if they would just take the death penalty off the table. And the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania said, no, we won't be doing that. A lawyer by the name of Judy Clark conceded that Robert Bowers did the murders. She went on and said, quote, shot every person that he saw and injured first responders who came to their rescue. There will be no question that this was a planned act and that he killed 11 people. But please scrutinize his intent. The jury of 11 men and 7 women scrutinized it for less than a day and brought back a guilty verdict. The governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, Jewish, said today, the verdict was a step toward justice in Pittsburgh, but the horror and pain of October 27th, 2018 will never go away. My heart remains with the families of the 11 victims who were massacred as they worshipped at Tree of Life that day. May their memories be a blessing. And I love that phrase. May their memories be for a blessing. It does not abnegate the horror of what happened. But it turns the focus not upon the brutal, hate-filled method of their passing, but on the lives that they lived before that horrid day. So the penalty phase starts on June 26th, 10 days from now. A little irony in that, because June 26th was the day that little 7-year-old me picked up the phone and found out my brother's brains had been blown out. I saw that number, that date, June 26th, and I was like, well, shit. Here's a question for the conversation once we get it started. Death penalty. I'd be curious to know where the consensus of the Horn Family Community Congregation is on that, the death penalty. Because those are tough calls. I am generally anti-death penalty. But every now and then you'll run across one where you think, ah, no, this time, yeah, let's just go ahead. And it makes me feel inconsistent and hypocritical. It is as if we somehow think that more violence will turn turn previous violence, but it won't. It won't. So I have Phila Robster past the top of the hour. We're at about 5 past the hour. No time checks, just keeping up with where we are in the program. And I had the iPad that I bring the program on, I had it charging, but I think I've got a faulty charging cable here, because when I plugged it up, it was at 47%. Actually, when I plugged it up this morning, it didn't charge. That's the bottom line. That's what I need to replace the iPad. Great. At any rate, I like to use the iPad because that means I can play clips when I run across them, but I have a feeling that we're going to have to use the iteration of Skype on the Fab machine. Hey, Fab. And so we'll be doing that in fairly short order, I hope. Hey, is that you, Roger?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, great. I appreciate you being there to get it started.
Oh, no, I got two audios coming through. Let me turn off the... I need to turn off the... there, now I got it. I needed to turn off the horn feed when the Skype feed comes in, then I start getting this long delay echo.
Okay.
No, better. I'm not there. Oh, yeah. I am here. Okay.
Better now?
Yeah, I'm fine now.
Good.
I didn't think I'd be able to make it, and then it turned out I could, so I did. Steve covered and kind of got upset that I didn't let him know. It's all good. It's Friday.
I get you. Tell me, how now did you have pickling class this week again?
No, this was this school I was doing this for is sort of a alternative school, and they call it the A-cubed, it's A-cubed, the Academy of Arts and Academics. And today, well, this last month, sort of their homeroom classes got broken off, and they focused on something. And the group I was working with were focused on urban agriculture and preserving the Bountiful Garden. But there was another one that did studied human anatomy and did rock climbing. There was another one who did Shakespeare and rewriting scenes from, I think, Hamlet or Romeo and Juliet into modern attire and situation. And then there's another group that was that worked on painting. Springfield, Oregon is known for its murals on the buildings, including a huge mural of Ken Kesey, who was a native of Springfield, Oregon.
Well, that's just cool.
And then it also turns out that whoever the originator of The Simpsons was grew up in Springfield, Oregon.
Matt Groening.
And the Springfield of The Simpsons' hometown of Springfield, because every state has two or three Springfields in it, but Springfield, Oregon was the real Springfield that he was dealing with. And so all over Springfield, there are murals of the Simpson characters, and there's a big plaque on one of them that he funded. And the mural class had a mural, and they'd make it in panels. And so, you know, a group of students work on one panel, and then when they're all put together, it's a giant mural. So one of the classrooms, they were working on the finishing touches of sort of a workers' mural that included a very pro-union message. And I thanked the teacher, and then my wife got to talking to him, and she detected a Spanish accent. They started talking in Spanish because he's from Mexico, and of course, you know, she's from Peru. So it was a really interesting afternoon seeing what these high school kids with their teachers are doing. But it didn't take as long as I anticipated, so I got home early. But my canning class kids they had their food prep groups, and they did their pickles and their sauerkraut and their kimchi, and they were serving out little on paper plates examples of what they had made during the classes that we did. And so I got to taste some pickled asparagus and some sauerkraut and some kimchi and other stuff that the kids had made when we were there teaching them how to do it. So it was all well and good. But
as I said,
I got home earlier than I anticipated.
Well, just by way of wishful thinking, I badly need for, among all those Simpsons murals, I badly need for there to be a mural of Grandpa Simpson wearing onions in his belt and screaming at clouds.
I don't recall seeing that one, but I could look again one of these days.
Well, if it's not there, just put it in the suggestion box.
Yeah. Okay. But it's like every alley seems to have a Simpsons poster, a Simpsons painting on a wall somewhere. A lot of them are simply guerrilla. You know, somebody's just come in and put a poster on the back of some, you know, I mean a mural on the back of some business. And most of them are signed, however, so I don't think it's all that guerrilla. But it's interesting.
Oh, it sounds cool as hell, frankly.
I'll see. Maybe the next time I go over there, I'll remember to take my phone and take some pictures and share them. Anyhow,
that would be fun.
Death penalty.
Yes.
I am opposed to the death penalty under all cases because one mistake is one too many.
Right.
And economically, even if the individual is a late teenager, early 20s, to execute the death penalty is more expensive than if they live to be over 80 and have lifetime in prison. And when people question that, you must realize that once a person is sentenced to a death sentence, there are mandatory appeals, not quite to the Supreme Court, but almost. And once the person has been sentenced, they are now wards of the state, which means that the government, the state, has to pay for appropriate legal representation for the condemned prisoner, and the state needs to fund the state's side of the appeal. And lawyers, being good business folk, are always interested in increasing their annual income, which means that the state provided representation will look for any and every way to maximize the number of hours that they're going to be able to bill to create the appeal and stretch it out forever, because it's in their economic interest to stretch it out forever. Now, should Ted Kaczynski have been executed? You could make a case for that. Charlie Manson lived out his life because of the elimination of the death penalty for a period of time in California. And as soon as they do not face a death penalty, if they want to appeal their sentence, it's their responsibility to fund their legal representation. But the death penalty, the state has to fund their representation. So both from an economic and a thou shalt not kill philosophy, and I don't bring that from the religious side, I bring it from the humanitarian side, I'm opposed to the death penalty, no matter how bad the crime. Once that person is locked up and removed from society, they're no longer a threat. And if the death penalty were in truth a deterrent to horrendous crimes, we wouldn't have any horrendous crime. So clearly it's not a deterrent. So there's no reason for the death penalty. Anyhow, that's my
sensible, Roger. Here's the, and like I said, this makes me a complete hypocrite, because I am on general principle for much of the reasons that you have espoused, in addition to the fact that there is far too great a statistical likelihood of killing someone that isn't even guilty, opposed to the death penalty. But I got to thinking about it with this Robert Bowers guy who shot up the Tree of Life. And I find myself having no compunction whatsoever against executing Nazis. It was good enough for Hermann Göring. And Hermann Göring fired less bullets than Robert Bowers did on October of 2018, October 27. But I think the just thing to do is just let him rot in prison. But I did find myself thinking, but then again, that's retributive justice, actually retributive injustice. And what I'm actually what the basis is that I think Robert Bauer should be killed, but the horizontal crucifixion's too good for him. I mean, he needs some old medieval execution, you know.
Hey, everyone, are you talking about Mel Gibson and Braveheart?
Yes, exactly, Dad? Christopher. Well done.
My God. Freedom!
Yeah. Well, he doesn't get to yell freedom. I mean, maybe he'd yell Sieg Heil. I don't know.
Well, Dylann Roof, I mean, what's worse for him?
Another little Nazi. Oh, that's what I'm saying. I don't want it over quick.
You're right. So maybe he's going to live to 100 in jail.
Yes.
Maybe that's right.
And he will be taken into the loving arms of a white supremacist gang inside some Pennsylvania penitentiary, and you know they'll sit around playing pinochle and canasta and the like. And I don't know why I got pinochle and canasta when it's obviously cribbage. Sorry.
Well, I mean, the Eighth Amendment to me is pretty clear. I don't know the history of the weeble wobble that's gone on with the death penalty. I don't know all the ins and outs. In the 70s, it was abolished. Is that correct? And then brought back in vogue, I guess you would say.
Right,
and you're
in the same time frame where a fat, dead Tony Scalia was declaring that the Constitution does not convey a right not to be executed for a crime you did not commit.
Huh?
That's frightening as hell.
Hey there, Edith. Say again.
What's Edith, huh? Fat, dead Tony Scalia said while he was on the bench that the Constitution of the United States does not provide a right to its citizens not to be executed for crimes they did not commit. You do not have a constitutional right not to be executed for something you didn't do. Because originalism or something.
Huh?
That's called a pretzel
brain.
What
the fuck is that? Yeah. It's the same horse shit he said about the preamble. Oh, it's just window dressing.
Yeah.
What the fuck, man?
Which is the same thing that he said about...
Like
which, is the same thing that he said about the preliminary clause to the Second Amendment, you know.
Oh, yeah, I can ignore that part.
Yeah, a well-regulated militia being necessary to it. Yeah. Oh, we can forget about that. The only thing that matters is the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
I'm bearing my arms right now. I've got short sleeve shirt on.
Oh, I'm going to be bearing arms tomorrow.
Yes,
It's a pretty little white dress? It's a pretty little white sleeveless eyelet dress. And it's
nice.
It comes to about the knee, because I got great legs. Sorry. I'm getting as bad as Dylan Mulvaney. I just don't have the followers. I heard from Micah, and she said, as to the death penalty, never. Outside of acts taken in the enterprise of war, I simply don't trust the state with that power. One innocent life is already too many, and I know we've got more than that. Yeah, measures in the thousands. And we haven't started talking about all the institutional problems around it. Exactly.
I'm from Illinois.
You would know.
George Ryan. Yes. A Republican. One of the most corrupt governors in the history of America.
But he got one thing right, right?
Yeah, he got one thing right. That's it. He put a stay on all executions just for that reason. We can't be 99.999999% sure that this person did not commit the crime. We have to be 100% sure, and that's virtually impossible.
And, you know, it's funny because I bring this up because it dovetails back to the Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz anointed Booker Greek and Future King of America story. Because he said that Senate Democrats would not convict Joe Biden. Oh, God, what was the exact quote? Here we go. And remember, because Flavio pointed this out. Ms. Lindsey Graham once said that if somebody murdered Ted Cruz, I mean, this is Lindsey Graham, of course, you know. He said if somebody...
Wait, what? Really?
Miss Lindsey said if someone murdered Ted Cruz and the Senate was the jury, no one would vote to convict. He said that.
My first suspect would be Snowball, the little dog in the window that he abandoned.
But what he said, I played the clip. I don't think Senate Democrats, if you had video of Joe Biden murdering children dressed as the devil under a full moon while singing Pat Benatar, they still wouldn't vote to convict. And I didn't... Well, thank you, Clarence. Clarence just sent me a cowbell. Cribbage! Cowbell for you, Robin. Thank you, Clarence. But, you know, I'm... Now, Rafaelito, let's remember, Rafaelito is a practitioner of the art, thinks he's a practitioner of the art of word knowing. I am a practitioner of the art of word knowing, and I know my own. But Rafaelito went to Harvard and everything, and maybe at Princeton he was a master debater. Tough crowd. Old joke.
The slave wait while the master beats.
Ah, very good.
Hi, Steve. Yes,
hey, history of the world.
Hey, Steve.
Oldie, but a goodie. That's right.
Hey,
Natalie Kahn said that in History of the World. What a great movie.
Oh, man. God.
One of my favorites.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Robin. Soup.
Soup. Oh, beat me to it. Damn it. But no, so wait a minute. Because we can play English major here for a second. And Raffaellito, of course, is a super genius. You know, just ask him. He'll tell you.
I see what you did there. It was good.
Thank you. I don't. Yeah, well. Now, this is a quote. Listen again. I don't think Senate Democrats, if you had video of Joe Biden murdering children dressed as the devil under a full moon while singing Pat Benatar, they still wouldn't vote to convict. Okay, at least when we get to video of Joe Biden murdering children, it's dumber than hell, but at least we're grammatically and syntactically in the clear. Do we agree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Murdering children dressed as the devil under a full moon while singing Pat Benatar, we are completely at sea, and I have no fucking idea in the world what that means. I don't know
who's dressed as the devil.
Right, Roger. I don't know if Joe Biden's
dressed. Here's your reverb, Robin. Get your reverb. The devil.
I don't have that on this board, damn it.
Gosh darn it.
Is Joe Biden dressed as the devil? Are the children dressed as the devil? And who's singing Pat Benatar? Is it Joe Biden or the children who are dressed as the devil? And I don't even know who's being voted.
I'm assuming it's Ted Cruz and drag.
Okay.
Lindsay's lost his mind, Robin. Did you see that exchange with him and Stephanopoulos on Sunday? You may have played it.
Oh, I did play it.
On your show.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, my God, man. He looked like he was going to cry.
Let me finish. I'm trying to respond from a Republican point of view.
Yeah, I don't want to let him finish. Let somebody else let him finish.
Karen and I were sitting here looking at the TV.
Somebody get me the Frosted Flakes, okay? Yeah, let Lindsay finish. Go get the Frosted. Go get the Unfrosted Flakes.
Yeah.
I'm mad. I'm taking off my shirt. I mean, I thought Lindsay was just going to break bad on everybody, man.
No, he doesn't. Oh, come on, Steve. He doesn't break bad. He breaks peeved.
But the way Al Franken got run out on a rail puts a lie to that comment from the start.
Everything they say is a fucking lie, Roger.
Well, amen. You
know, I know it. We all know it. They're grasping straws, man.
But what about this imaginary oligarch?
All they have, Chris, is what about it?
Oh, God. We are an hour and 25 minutes into the program, and we have now reached the imaginary oligarch portion.
I mean, it's unbelievable, these
people. If it wasn't what about it, what would they have? They would have nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Nothing. Not a blessed thing.
Nope.
Just their hatred and bigotry. Well, Fox News had the wannabe dictator cry on their news over this week.
I seen that. Oberman did a bit on that. Yes, indeed. And they quickly cut away to a story about a man that had an alligator in his swimming pool. True story.
Is it the same guy? Is it the same guy? Is it the same guy who used his alligator to rob the liquor store?
The alligator was on a leash, so it was kind of illegal. But that's a gray area. He had it tied to a fire hydrant, but that's something else. Well, Robin, I got some good news I would like to share with you, if you don't mind.
Oh, do please.
The elephant, the ant pushing up against the elephant, the ant finally won. I got notice from the VA yesterday that I won the audit.
Yay. Cowbell.
And there was much rejoicing.
Oh, my goodness, man. This has been consuming me for the last 4 months. You wouldn't believe the blood, sweat, and tears that has went into this.
Oh, I would. I would.
They were alleging Mom had all these annuities that she never had, and they were threatening to cut her off and send her a huge, humongous bill, and it was up to me to prove a negative.
Where did they get the notion that your mom was swimming in annuities?
I have no earthly idea. They were making up zombie accounts that her and my late father had liquidated back in the 80s and saying that she was still getting annuities from these accounts, you know. And I had to contact the banking establishments and get them to write me a statement saying, no, 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 these accounts are liquidated. She's not getting jack squat off of these, you know.
Yeah, living large with dementia in the nursing home, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, eating nursing home food. And they just, for whatever reason, they wanted to cut her off.
Lobster bisque every night, right, Steve?
Chris, you wouldn't believe. Robin's been with me through this unpleasant journey. It's been a nightmare, but finally, it appears to be over, so stay tuned. But thanks for letting me share that.
Oh, I'm glad you got a win. I really am.
Yeah.
As to the death penalty discussion, let me back up just a minute. Lee in New York says, too many convicted and sentenced to death have been exonerated. I have to reject the death penalty. I understand. And Matt in San Francisco says, for the most part, I'm against the death penalty. Then there's folks like Jeffrey Dahmer, which I must admit, I was pleased when he was beaten to death in prison. So, obviously, I have more internal work to do on the issue.
No, that's a good natural reaction. Because I bet a lot of people, if they were intellectually honest, would say, yeah, good.
It's a good natural reaction as a Homo sapien. But as a civilized human being, we can't go there, right? You should not go there.
Well, I know we can't go there, but my idea when I was quite a bit younger was to take some place like the Farallon Islands, which are off the coast of San Francisco by some 20 miles. And I don't think anybody has ever attempted to swim either from San Francisco to the Farallons or from the Farallons back to San Francisco, primarily because there's just too many great white sharks in the area and the water's cold and da-da-da-da-da. But to find a place like that that isn't needed for wildlife preservation and simply put them there and have a delivery of some kind where a basic 2,000 calorie a day quantity of food gets dumped on the island and these societal misfits can just go all live on that island amongst themselves and provide them with the calories, the building material, and let them create their own society.
Well, Roger, I heard an interesting interview with Michael Cohen. You remember him. He's been all over the news. And he was Trump's lawyer that went to jail. And he said he doesn't want Trump going to jail because he has enough knowledge stored in his head that he'll be selling out security secrets for, you know, toothpaste and toilet paper and a bag of Roman noodles. So there's that. That's something to ponder.
You honestly believe he has a mind that was able to read all these documents that where he couldn't even deal with the daily briefing unless it was pictures?
But in crayon. If it wasn't in crayon, he wouldn't be able to understand it.
But that was where Kellum was coming from, and I thought it was an interesting take.
For Sharpie. Yeah.
Well, it's an interesting take, but his communication, I mean, not everybody in jail gets to have unlimited communication beyond the walls.
Yeah, I was listening to something in Supermax in Denver, right? Or in Colorado. They have a microphone. You basically don't talk to anybody ever, right? Except for in extreme circumstances, like very limited circumstances. So I don't think there's any question. If we have to put them in jail, we got to put them in Supermax. I don't think there's any other
idea that, I mean, if he's going to be in Supermax in quasi-solitary, you know, the 23-hour a day, get let out into the exercise yard by yourself, why the hell does there have to be a circus? That. Why do you even need a Secret Service agent?
Right. And all communications between him and the outside world need to be carefully monitored. If there's any truth.
You want to know why he needs
Absolutely.
You know, you want to know why he needs Secret Service? I'll tell you.
Bubba?
No, well,
I hate to be so crude, you know.
I can't imagine any
convict wanting a piece of that, but you know, that's me. No, it's to keep him, it is to keep him from self-harm, so that we don't have the we don't wind up with a Jeffrey Epstein didn't hang himself kind of situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, if he hangs himself, who gives a shit?
Well, you don't, Roger, you don't, and I do.
Maybe Vlad can erase him, you know?
Roger, you don't, and I don't, and a whole millions of Americans don't. But the fact of the matter is, it's not that we're afraid of the maggots, it's that we already see what they'll do. And no, they did not show up in Miami, and I give credit where credit's due. Scary Jerry was right. Nobody came out for him.
But yeah, their crowd of 400. Ooh.
Was it that?
I've had parties that had more people than that, you know? Shit, back in the day.
That's right up there with the bubblegum comment. but we do. I fear, and this is legit, I fear that something like, and I confess I'd like to see it, but that's again, what did Matt say? I have more internal work to do on the issue. I fear if he were to get super maxed, that would be an even greater, create an even greater likelihood for some sort of clemency or pardon. Yeah, even for Joe Biden. And yes, I know he would have to admit guilt. I think
he's already admitted guilt.
What's true?
Yes,
they're mine.
I mean,
he has made, yes. In all seriousness, though, he has made confessionary statements against interest. But there is a difference between that and having the statements he made found by a jury tried and true of his peers to have created criminal culpability.
Well, it all centers around intent, right, Robin?
Well,
in his mind, in his warped fucking mind, today. He wasn't breaking the law, right?
Go ahead, Steve. A Warner Brothers takeoff. It's mine, it's Daffy Duck. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. And what's mine is mine, and you can't have it. You know, remember that, Daffy?
I'm rich. I'm comfortably well off. I'm socially secure.
What distresses me is that there's even the thought that a jury of his peers, i.e. equals, could be found. I mean, you honestly believe there's 12 people as fucked up as he is?
That's not what jury of his peers means.
They have their heads so far up their ass, they don't know what's going on. I mean, you must be living in a goddamn cave, you know?
No, but if you're in Florida, what's the likelihood of you getting 12 non-maggots on a jury altogether?
Better than you might
suspect. One of them is bound to be.
Better than you might suspect. And plus, it doesn't necessarily have to stay in Florida. Remember, part of what Miss Lindsay was throwing a conniption about earlier this week to Manu Raju was that it will be an outrage if they indict him. They ain't a Republican in D.C. that a jury wouldn't indict. Yeah, kind of a bit of a – it didn't mean what he thought it meant. Kind of an admission on Lindsay's part that they're all corrupt, including Miss Lindsay.
Robin, it makes me wonder, what the hell's going on with Lindsay? Do they have pictures of him with chickens and goats or something?
There's compromise. There has got to be compromise.
It has to be. Rent boy. But as I have said to you, Steve, you've been with this program for a very long time.
Yep.
You know that my argument has always been that he is part of the dirty money that was funneled from Mother Muscovy to the National Ruble Association to Republican coffers.
My female friend. So he's juiced in then.
Yeah, yeah.
And that would explain Cruz's 180-degree switch on Trump once Trump won the nomination. And, of course, you could see him there dialing for dollars for Trump, right?
If somebody gooned on Karen, there would be no forgiveness.
No, but Well, we're talking about Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham, right?
These people are shameless, man.
Oh, they are. They are. Hey, I need to send out some thanks. You know, Ralph's got us started on the challenges. And Kevin in Colorado Springs got the first challenge. Joey's finished and got us started on Matt's You Show Me Mine, I'll Show You. You Show Me Yours, I'll Show You Mine challenge. And so there's $290 to go on that. So thank you both to Kevin and to Ralph's. I hope some other people will jump in. We're a little over the halfway mark of the program. And knocking down $600 of the $1,000 fundraising hole would be huge. Let me make note of this because Kevin asked earlier, having you know the Rafi Alito story, because of course Pat Benatar. Oh, where's the email? There it is. Kevin said, I just sent in a contribution. Could you call it the Pat Benatar to Rafi Alito hit me with your best shot donation? Because if Cruz tried, it would be a real heartbreaker. E.
Barrett, that's a pretty robust cowbell for that. Should have been the llama.
No, that was not a llama. That was creative.
Oh, all right. Very generous today. Well, there you found it. Hey, you know either the kids or Ferg is playing tricks on you. It's got to be. You need a video cam. You have to solve this mystery. You need like Scooby-Doo and Scrappy-Doo, and you need to figure this out, Robin. Who's swiping the cowbell?
I personally think it's the cats. I think Ralph's right. Come on. You don't know them. They knock things off tables just for spite. I mean, I have seen them with my own pretty blue eyes. There will be a glass sitting over here on the table, and the cat will be standing on it, and not even with his paws. I say, don't knock that over. Come on, don't knock. And he'll just swipe
right, wait,
it.
He'll just
swipe it with his tail. It's just like, hey, fuck you.
All right, it's time for the horn clue game. We have to figure out who it was. I vote for Ferg in the studio with the serpent.
I think it's Annette.
Quit that. No, don't you even say she might be listening. You have no idea what the price I'll pay. Hey, I had a note from Theo regarding Pat Benatar. Hi, Ron. Hi, Theo. And what El Dumbass de Fabuloso did we get the reference to here to her song Hell is for Children wrong? I always found it a wrenching plaint, and Stupido Numero Uno didn't get the point. But of course. Yeah, but of course. And by the way, it was Suzanne Vega who wrote Luca. And Stephen New York added, all were together and had all things in common. They would sell their property and possessions and divide them among all according to each one's need. Yeah, you know, Christianity began with communism. Now, where do you think Marx and Engels came up with it from? Adding, Steve does, just throwing it out there to the universe, voting makes you gay. Who knew? Oh, my God, that's brilliant. Wait a minute, cowbell, Steve, cowbell. So what we need now, and somebody with some influence, get on the blower to Dylan Mulvaney and show her going into a voting booth.
Yes.
The maggots will refuse to vote. Joey Manananana Reno-No-No will declare that all voting machines have tranny jizz on. Slap on the wrist for using that word, but oh, why are they? And I'm not going to go into the biology lessons, but no. It just boggles my tiny little pink brain to even think about trying to get into the spidery crawl space that is the brain of Joey Manananarino-no-no. I'm sorry, every time I say that, I think of the beginning of, who was the 80s new wave band that did Tesla Girls? Was it Psychedelic Furs? Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark? I can't remember. But it begins with a female voice going, no, no, no! Durum, durum, durum. No, no, no. Tesla Girls, come on. Oh, hell, I'm old.
Don't remember.
All right. And I can't play
it. You're a DJ, though. You're a DJ.
I can't play it, though, because we're on the machine that I play stuff on, and it's a pain in the butt, and I've got a dying iPad, and that makes me unhappy. But every time I hear it, oh, never mind. But yes, Dylan Mulvaney voting, please.
Sawgrass Mills via Broward Mall.
What in the world?
You're going west, right?
That's Scary Jerry. Scary Jerry.
Hey, what's up? Sorry.
Calling in for my day, Scary.
Hey, Scary Sputnik. Jerry. Oh, and by the way, Clarence said Trump incarcerated. Here's what I think. Trump would try to expire himself. Trump is not built for lockdown lifestyle. That's true.
Calling for Sputnik. That's hilarious.
Is that you, Ken?
I said it.
Oh, I was going to say, who said Ken? No, but then somebody said...
Yeah, I was responding to Christopher. It was hilarious.
Yeah. Hi, Ken.
Hello.
Sputnik, hello.
Sputnik, are we reaching?
Oh, V'ger.
V'ger. Yeah, V'ger. Scary's calling from V'ger.
That's their Star Trek reference for tonight, I assume.
That works.
No, that's true. Jeremy just said, cats are the reason we all know the Earth isn't flat. If it were, we'd all have been knocked off long ago. True that.
I'd like to bring it around to Jack Smith. I've decided he is one of the most brilliant people that's ever worked as a prosecutor. He got forced into bringing this shit down in the Southern District of Florida because a lot of the crimes were in the Southern District of Florida. So he didn't want to deal with venue. I understand all that. But what's interestingly lacking from the charges filed down in Florida is any dissemination of the information. And it's relatively proven that Trump disseminated information at his golf course in Bedminster, which is up in New Jersey. So even if this crap judge down in Florida managed to squirrel the trial in Florida, if Jack Smith then comes up to New Jersey and has him in possession of documents in New Jersey and disseminating the information in New Jersey, that's not double jeopardy. And he's still got the January 6th D.C. to be playing around with. So
there's
I think
a lot more
Jack,
Trump cards to play. Yep.
I think Jack Smith has covered his ass with Florida being able to avoid the double jeopardy and, in essence, bring the same charges in New Jersey if he has to do it over again because he's not identified any of the documents that went to New Jersey in the Florida case. So he could lose everything in Florida and bring the same case in New Jersey. Am I wrong?
Well, not exactly the same case, but I see exactly what you're saying.
Well, there's an argument. The argument to be made. There's an argument. Good. There's an argument to be made, Roger, that if Aileen Cannon fucks up badly enough, that the whole thing can be shunted up to D.C. because of the Confidential Records Act. And having a judge who knows how to actually run a trial that involves that.
Hey, Robin, Scary's got his hand up.
Oh, go ahead,
hey, Scary. Gary.
Hold on. Hold on. Hey, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
How y'all doing? How y'all doing?
Good. That's much better. It's much. There's not as much background noise. It's pretty good.
Well, I was at a bus stop. I'm actually off to go meet a work a pride event. I'm kind of hyped. I'm gonna be in Wilton Manors for those of you who know. Did you see the guy who went?
Oh, where'd Jerry go?
Sputnik, come in.
Sputnik.
Ready? All right, hold on. Let's try this again. Hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Did you see the guy who ran in front of the motorcade with the sign wearing the old-timey jail outfit?
No.
All right.
When Trump was being arraigned.
Hey, Steve.
Somebody ran in front of the quote-unquote motorcade. Is that what you're talking about?
I think
so
it
what
is.
What did the sign say?
I think it said Trump for jail or indict. It's something like that. Mm-hmm.
Steve, how are you? How's lovely New York?
That's good. You might tell you, I have to ask a question. I've been thinking about this. Why didn't he bring the case? Why didn't Smith bring the case in D.C.?
My guess, Steve, is that he really is. You know, we made a joke of it years and years ago, but he's playing 11D-dimensional chess. And Aileen Cannon and the Trump team are playing on a checkerboard with checkers.
Or tiddlywinks or
jacks. Yes, tiddlywinks. Yes.
But the thing is, I think he wanted to send a message. I mean, you and I both know, Steve, that you know if you have to charge where the crime is committed, then you have to charge in Florida.
Why? Why was the crime committed there?
Because the records were retained there.
Yeah, but they took them from D.C.
Right.
But when he took them from D.C., he was still president.
Bingo.
Good point.
But the thing is, if she fucks up enough, it can be moved, and what I'm really hoping for, because I want to see the conniption, I want to see Lady G get the vapors. I want to see
gods and goddess.
Oh, what do you say, Steve? Oh my Lanta.
Oh my Lanta.
He'll be all the way under the fainting couch down there at the old family estate of Smoldering Chode. But I want to see January 6th indictments. I want to see the same sort of seditious conspiracy that was brought against Stewart. You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Rhodes, bang. See, told you. And you know the other underlings. Because remember, they dropped the dime on him in their trial.
Was Jack Smith the one that ran that that trial?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
No, but that was just a straight up DOJ prosecution out of the DC office.
I have to say something real quick. Just when nobody has anything else to say, I want to just take 30 seconds.
Yeah, jump right in.
And I've emailed you about this. For all you Merrick Garland haters out there.
Merrick Garland. You're going to gloat again, aren't you?
Huh?
You're going to gloat again, aren't you?
No, I'm not going to gloat. I'm just going to say he has played this brilliantly. And when I hear these fucking people, I'm going to tell you something who I hear all the time, Ellie Mistal. And I looked him up. And you know what? he's actually hasn't practiced law for more than a couple of years. So when I hear a person who, smart as he might be, knowledgeable as he might be, who's never actually frickin' litigated a case, doing what, you know, bloviating and barfing and crapping and shitting like he does, I think, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, so shut up.
Well, maybe you should be a candidate for the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Yeah. Down
oh,
that
give
road.
Roger a cowbell on that one. That was awesome. But Garland played, I mean, what he did was he walked up the ladder. He started at the bottom. He got his convictions each step of the way. So he has a this is like Sherman's march to the sea. Trump is Atlanta. And he's been burning as he's gone. Okay? That's exactly what he's doing. With that, like Robin just said, with that conviction of old one eye, that sets the table for everybody. That sets the table for Bannon and Stone and ultimately Trump.
All the miscreants.
And all this and this stuff about what every time I hear, well, they need to indict. You know, for every little thing, everything that's happening, there's two things we have to remember. Big as the DOJ might be, it's got finite resources. Mm-hmm. We also have to remember Steve Bannon's very prescient strategy/statement. Flood the zone. And that's exactly what they're doing. And I think that part of the reason that it may have taken longer than they wanted is there is so much criming to look out for, to prosecute. And what I think has happened is as they've got into this, it's got tentacles. It's like roots of a tree. Or rabbit holes. You got to go down this. Oh, shit, we found this. And then we got to go down there and down there. Now, eventually they'll get to the point where they just say, you know what, we got to do with what we've got. But I think that's the biggest reason why we are where we are. And I look. Again, no, I'm not. It's not me gloating.
I was playing.
I know you were. He has played this brilliantly, and for him.
Talking about the tentacles, Steve. How long until we finally get some of those tentacles wrapped around Tuberhead and hauling ass Josh Hawley? You know what?
To be honest with you, those are not the cake. That's icing on the cake.
Okay.
The cake is Trump.
Well, yeah.
Okay. The you know.
But what do you have to do first? What comes first?
Trump.
Before. Okay.
Trump. Because it's like you know you cut the head off the Kraken. The Kraken might not die. It's certainly the limbs and the other and the extremities are going to start to panic.
Well, not only that, but might not Trump. I mean, I keep thinking of the poster about loose lips sink ships from when I was in the military. And is Trump not just sufficiently deranged that when he gets a little bit more cornered, liable to drop? I mean, he's already confessed. Well, let's go back. E. Jean Carroll, he got himself back before the jury for more penalty. After the indictment, he had that campaign rally where he kept on talking and simply dug or added information to Jack Smith that Jack Smith can now, if he doesn't testify, can present those public statements as testimony when the question is framed right. When he gets pushed a little bit harder, like the J6 indictments come down and he's got to show up in D.C. to be booked there, he'll go out for another campaign thing. Is he not liable to let drop some more incriminating things against people like Tuberville and Gates and McConnell and McCarthy?
Roger is hitting the nail square upon the head. I think it's even more than that. If he gets cornered, he will sell anybody under the, he will throw anybody under the bus he can if it means saving himself.
The kids, Jared, doesn't matter, right?
Josh Hawley. Why do you think Ivanka is completely stayed out of this?
You know who he won't throw under the bus? Because he said anyone. I don't think he'll throw Mohammed bin Bonesaw or Vladimir Putin under the bus.
Okay, fair enough.
I would agree with that.
Fair enough.
They are his owners.
But you know, that's, you know, when you say Hawley and all these people, I think...
And a chainsaw goes through orange jelly real smooth.
Well, careful there. Agent Fred, this is all metaphor, okay? You listening? Enjoy your donuts.
I do wish that someone would punch Ted Cruz in the face.
Backpfeifengeschicht.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm just wondering if
is
it'll
there
get
a list
to the point.
Punch Ted Cruz in the face. Sorry, Roger.
I just wonder if it's going to get to the point that... if you believe Tom Hartman, was it the mafia off JFK and RFK? Do you think that Putin and Mohammed bin Bonesaw, if they feel that they're about to be threatened, would find a way to let Trump go dance with 72 virgins?
I don't think Mohammed bin Bonesaw would do no, because he's too ham-fisted. Pooty, a little umbrella incident, sure, absolutely.
And if Agent Fred's listening, I'm not volunteering to take on the mission. Okay,
right.
It's just a thought process.
But the JFK mafia thing, that was supposedly all jealousy over the fact that JFK was banging. Some Chicago mob boss's mall. Do I have that right? And of course I had the RFK Jr. clip, last night or yesterday's program, talking about the CIA did his uncle. And it amazes me that 60 years on, we're still even having this debate.
Where's Scott? We need Scott.
I know. And there yet remains the possibility that it was Lee Harvey Oswald, even if the late great Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, prophet that he was, said that the reason you can't lean out the window at the Texas Book Depository is because if you do, you'll pull your head back in, going, "No fucking way."
Yeah, I've been there. Yep, I did that.
Although Bill Hicks did acknowledge that the night before there were gangs of anti-Castro pigeons yelling coup in bars. God, he was so good. Well, he was so good.
I've always thought there's probably some truth to that CIA thing, only because if you know JFK, you know he was in chronic pain and always high in morphine and cocaine and all sorts of stuff to make him, you know, not feel the pain to be able to function in life. They say... when he was banging all the women he was banging,
because
he
didn't expect to live
like fucking Trump does, and that's why he was shut up. Point blank, that's the only reason why. Had nothing to do with the mafia.
Well, isn't it true that politics, notwithstanding, given the amount of physical, you know, he had Raynaud's syndrome among other things,
right?
Which is pretty awful, but I've read it somewhere that he had said he didn't really expect to live that long, even without, you know, being shot.
I heard that too.
Oh, thank you, Clarence. Clarence in South Carolina or on the road. Just got us down to 265 on Matt's. You show me yours, I'll show you mine challenge. So $265 nets $265 more dollars nets us Matt's challenge, which brings our $1,000 hole down to $400, which, wow, that would be great.
By the way, Kennedy had Addison's disease.
Addison's,
too.
Not Renault. Did he have Renault's too?
I think I was mistaking it with Addison's.
Yeah.
He had a cortisol deficiency. I remember one of my professors in college talking about it.
Yeah. And, you know, a badly broken back that he swam miles with. Wow, how did we get here? But the thing is, Jack Smith is that good. And Leah New York just wrote in and says, my question is why it took 2 years to assign a special counsel to investigate Trump. Well, it didn't take 2 years. It took as long as it took to get the documents back and have the proof that he had committed the crimes he had committed. I mean, we are barely 2 years. Well, we're 2 years and let's see, six minus. We're 2 years and 5 months into the Biden presidency. His criminal culpability did not attach on January 20th, 2021. His criminal culpability attached when he basically thumbed his nose at a subpoena. And by the way, I think maybe one of the more important stories of the week is the revelation that, in fact, there were overtures made by which Nitwit Nero could have simply walked away. No guilty plea, just done. And that's not the for-profit media or the fake news. That's one of his lawyers apparently violating client confidentiality to disclose that. You know, evidence of settlement negotiations are not admissible in court, but by the same token, lawyer won't even isn't supposed to disclose. Am I getting this wrong, Steve?
I would say no. And you know, let me. But just that's a big deal.
Just one second.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because I wanted to finish the. That is the exact same tactic that he and his filthy old Klansman daddy took when Justice Department, you know, came after him under the Fair Housing Act. Remember, he could have saved himself a fortune just by signing a consent decree and had no problems in regard to his racist policies with regard to rentals. Remember that? But instead, he hired who? Roy Cohn, who told him to fight it all the way and drag it out. And then after spending all that money on Roy Cohn, he wound up with the same outcome that he would have had he just signed the consent decree in the first place. Only he got busted. So there really is a pattern of conduct here.
Just remember, he also pledges to this day that Roy Cohn wasn't gay. He just like fucking
He just
guys.
Liked to sleep with guys.
Well, who is Donnie's latest passel full of lawyers? Do they all have degrees from Better Call Saul School of Law?
Oh, no, some of these guys are hot shots. The one guy who finally signed on with him, I think his name's Kise, K-I-S-E, was the Solicitor General of Florida.
Is he the guy that got the money up front? $3 million retainer or something like
one,
that?
One presumes, or maybe the RNC. That's the thing. The RNC may be paying the bills, although they weren't supposed to pay the bills anymore once he announced as a candidate for the presidency. I don't know if they waived the rules or ruled the waves or what.
Rules? Rules aren't for Republicans.
Yeah, we don't need no stinking rules. Separate topic. Do we have any Spanish speakers in the group?
Muy mal.
Where's Flavio? Well,
where's Flavio? Where's Emilio?
Emilio? I think Emilio's on.
No, I'm not.
You're all different. I'm not. That's my favorite line out of Life of Brian. Listen, you're all different. Yes, we're all different. I'm not. Are you there, Emilio?
Yes.
Okay. So there's a story. I actually care more about what we call soccer now than I ever did before, simply from having spent 3 seasons watching Ted Lasso. Although, unlike, well, I don't know, spoilers. I also do not know the rules of the game. But there was a humongous kerfuffle when the U.S. national team played the Mexican national team in Las Vegas. The game had gone into extra time, 12 minutes of extra time, because of stoppages based on the Mexico fans' behavior. And it got so bad that with 4 minutes of extra time remaining and Mexico down 3-0, I'm sorry. The refs called the game and said, fuck this, it's over. Because there's been a problem with the Mexican national team and a couple of other teams since the early 2000s of the fans in the stands shouting a homophobic slur. And I read the story, and I was trying to understand. And, you know, Sporting News reports it as follows. In a practice believed to have started among fans in the early 2000s, Mexican national team's fans joined in unison to shout a Spanish-language homophobic slur, which they described as P-blank, close quotes, which roughly translate to gay prostitute, when an opposing goalkeeper puts the ball into play on a goal kick. The chant is supposedly meant to intimidate the keeper and the opposing team. Is that puta or pendejo?
Emilio, do you know?
To be honest, I can't tell right now.
Okay.
I mean, it would probably be, it, pendejo is not as strong as puta, so it probably wouldn't be pendejo.
But isn't puta just prostitute?
Yes.
And there's another slur, maricón?
Yeah, maricón, yeah. That's like faggot.
Yeah. And that's what, because I was thinking if it, but I don't know what the Spanish is for gay prostitute.
I don't know.
But I mean, and this is the dirty underbelly of, you know, soccer, and it's been going on for years. And now FIFA, one of the single most corrupt sporting association in the world, short of the International Olympic Committee, of course.
They're probably neck and neck, I'd say.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
But, you know, when it's bad enough that even FIFA sanctions and fines your team, you know it has to have been pretty damn nasty. And this was what's the name of the match? And it was so bad that leading up to the 2022 FIFA World Cup, Mexico had to play two of its 2022 home World Cup qualifiers with no fans in the stands. And so this was the 2023 CONCACAF Nations League. Like I said, played
in... Million, what does that mean, CONCACAF?
I'm not a sports person, so I'm really not the best person to ask.
Damn it, Emilio.
We're going to tell your teacher you have to go repeat your class, that class.
It's not a Spanish word. It's an acronym for whatever soccer league it is.
CONCACAF is.
It's like the different regions. Like when the U.S. is qualifying for the World Cup, they have to play a certain conference. Yeah.
Okay.
But what it means, I don't know.
Pardon Why do the acronyms part, keep getting longer?
Yeah. Pardon me, real quick. Pardon me if I don't give FIFA any credit for doing this. They gave the World Cup to frickin' who was it? Dubai?
Yeah, I know.
So fuck FIFA.
Yeah, and fuck Live, PGA, whatever they are.
That, you know, that really did piss me off. PGA just knuckling under to Mohammed bin Bonesaw.
Well, apparently they're going to try to block it. And I've seen stuff that there's no way that it will actually end up going through.
Antitrust? I heard that too, but I didn't get any particulars about it.
Well, did you hear what apparently happened? Is apparently Liv sued PGA.
I thought it was the other way around originally.
No, Liv sued the PGA because the PGA was not allowing them to be because of under antitrust rule law. And then they went ahead and just bought them.
Yeah, well,
Steve's right.
If you can't beat them, buy them. Yeah, I mean, that's capitalism, baby.
I hate soccer. I just hate it.
It's the Federation Internationale de Football.
No, that's FIFA, not CONCACAF.
That's FIFA, that's not CONCACAF.
It's too many letters. I call foul on that.
Oh, come on. You're going to make me do it, aren't you?
No, I'm looking right now, Rob, and I'll find
it. Okay, thank you.
I was just looking just like that right now.
I mean, it says here, the Confederation of North Central America and Caribbean Association Football.
Okay, there we go. That makes perfect sense.
Oh, it's actually not an acronym. It's CON Confederation.
CA Canada.
Canada.
Confederation Canada, no, Central America.
Yeah, that's the
Caribbean football.
Yeah, okay.
So the first CA would be Central America, and the second CA would be Caribbean.
Yes, exactly. And the first part, the CON is Confederation.
Confederation.
Well, I didn't hear
you have to have the G at the end for Galapagos, right?
I don't think they have a team.
Christopher. I know what you just did there. Don't do that. Well, you'll go to the penalty box. I don't see anybody playing grab ass around here. If I see anybody playing grab ass around here, into the box.
I love that.
It's more fun in the box, though. All right.
Emilio.
Yeah.
I can't trust y'all.
Friday.
Bunch of Weisenheimers is what you are. Oh, I've got some happy monkey up Declantis news.
Yay.
He's still on his don't say gay binge, of course. And he, by God, because he is Ron Monkey Up Declantis, the maximum governor dictator of Florida, decided to try to shove the College Board around. You know, he did that with African American studies. You know, the AP class. But and then he went after the AP psych course. And he demanded, by God, because he's monkey up. He's the governator. No, that's Schwarzenegger. Yeah, he's the go-go boots governor. Damn it. By the way, I'm wearing boots with my little dress tomorrow. It's going to be cute. Adorable. Cowgirl boots. Robin, stop that. Will you please? So he said that he wanted the AP to change AP psychology and not mention gender identity and sexuality because he's the go-go boots governor, damn it. And on yesterday, the College Board said, please know that we will not modify our courses to accommodate restrictions on teaching essential college-level topics. Doing so would break the fundamental promise of AP, advanced placement. Colleges wouldn't broadly accept that course for credit, and that course wouldn't prepare students for success in the discipline. And so, balls in your court, monkey up. You know, in the end, out of all this Sturm und Drang, Florida's going to wind up a bigger mess than it's ever been before. The economy's going south because the people who do all the working are doing all the leaving now. Because his pet legislature sent him a bill that he desperately wanted, telling migrants, you know, don't come to Florida. We got enough white people to do the hard labor around here. Oops.
And a massive number of people, Americans, who used to love to go to Florida as a number one tourist spot, you know, vacationing spot, are like, can we go somewhere else, maybe? That sure fucked me. I love Florida. I grew up going to Florida every spring and summer, sometimes Christmases. But guess what? No desire. None. I think there's a lot of people thinking like that.
I have a brother that lives in Tampa.
I have a cousin. I have aunts in Jacksonville. Well, actually, they're in Gainesville. I have cousins in Tampa. I have family in – I have dear, dear friends in Jupiter. I have lots and lots of friends and family in Florida. But I don't really want to go. They can get their asses up here.
Florida sucks to begin with.
They'll eventually end up here anyway. Exactly.
Oh, by the way, I'm against the death penalty in every single case.
Is it Eighth Amendment? Is it something more than that?
I don't care about the Eighth Amendment. There's almost no life in the universe, and destroying any of it.
And that, right there, is when the internet crashed. Sorry. So that's the end of Friday. An abrupt end of Friday on the front porch, and it was really going well, wasn't it? Well, this is two bizarre weeks over. Let's cross our fingers that Moran Monday just begins a long period of normal, extra normal. So thanks, everybody. We didn't finish Matt's You Show Me Yours, I'll Show You Mine challenge, but maybe that can happen over the weekend. Might have happened this evening, but, well, again, that's when the internet crashed. So thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you so much to our a la carte contributors who got us as far as we did.
$265, was it? Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Steve from Georgistan, all-around great guy. Thank you to Horn, Chief Agronomist, Chief Mathematician, and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, Roger in Oregon. Safe travels, my friend. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Please like, subscribe, follow, whatever the podcast calls, making sure you subscribe. Leave a comment, please. It helps to grow the community. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for environmental justice and human rights in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Stay safe, everybody. Get your booster if you're eligible. Wear your mask when you're around the maggots. You never know what you're breathing when you're in proximity to them. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Maintain your social distance. And if some needle-nosed freak comes down the sidewalk babbling about Pat Benatar, well, avoid that toxic Texan like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.